this great country, one job at a time. At Great New Games, we're passionate about bringing families together with our exciting board games and card games. Imagine you and your children will have wonderful fun playing together, and they'll get to be a whole lot smarter as a result.
The news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually It's called the Plunge Protection Team, and its job is to control our psyche, control our outlook. Because, you know, if our market had opened down 400 and gone down to 500, why, there would have been panic in America and panic throughout the world. So they manipulate the stock market up, and they think it closed down about 130 at the end of the day. How were they able to do it? Why, very simply, the people from the Treasury Department and from the Fed and from one or two of the major banks and brokerage houses, some of the largest ones, get together and they just simply start frantically buying stocks. And whenever you put a bid in that's higher than the current market value, why, the stock begins to move up. And so they were able actually to manipulate the Dow. It's only about 40 stocks they have to manipulate. And then, of course, the rest of the stocks, a lot of them will take care of themselves. So anyway, they were able to manipulate the stock market up. So we're only down about 130 points. Is Charlotte here? All right, well, let's go to Charlotte Isabay. Hi, Charlotte.
I'm sorry if I was a bit late.
Oh, that's all right. We love you just the same. Look, have you been watching the market and what's happening on the financial markets
throughout
the world?
I mean, I was watching it up until I had to go shopping about 4 hours ago. I've been going the last 4 hours. Has anything happened in the last 4 hours?
Well, apparently they closed up down about 130, somewhere there, 137.
Yeah.
But it's all manipulated. And we're just trying to let our listeners understand that the Working Group on Financial Markets, does something which would be illegal for you and I to do, and that's manipulate the stock market, because they don't want the people to become frightened or any more frightened than they already are. But you can't ignore the fact that the whole world financial system is in turmoil.
Oh, yes. I mean, I've read a lot of articles. I read the New York Times, Washington Post, about yesterday and today, because, of course, the markets opened in Asia earlier, and evidently the myth that the other markets wouldn't be affected, other economies wouldn't be affected by the United States, it's just a myth.
Right.
And they're seeing that they are affected.
Right, and of course, they manipulated the price of gold down, but it closed very strong. It was about $8.90 by the time it closed. They manipulated silver down, and then it came back up, and then they manipulated it down again. When you understand that it's all manipulated, and you know how it's got to be manipulated, you can make a lot of money, and that's what these people do. We'll be back in just a moment with Charlotte.
Now, you can bring Berkey Purification Power anywhere with the Sport Berkey Filtration Bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8... That's 877-943-8600 or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today. Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. And of course, what's happening is the derivative market is beginning to come unraveled. And there's about $550 trillion in derivatives out there. Now, there's not that money in the, much money in the world. In fact, the total amount of money in all of the banks and everything everywhere in the world is about $45 trillion. And that's money, credit, all the various increments that they use. So the derivative market is about 10 times, well over 10 times that, and we're already beginning to see corporations like ACA and AMPAC, right here in the United States, going bankrupt, and ACA has about $69 billion in derivatives, and they're bankrupt, and it looks like AMPAC won't be too far behind them, and of course, what this is going to do is when you just start to unravel part of the financial system, then the other parts begin to unravel as well, because certainly the people who were depending on ACA or on AMPAC to make sure that their bonds would be paid off, now they're going to have to begin to get rid of their own assets. They'll have to sell them at very low prices. Because, of course, it's now is a buyer's market, not a seller's market. Well, Charlotte, what do you make out of what's going on?
Well, I don't know that I make as much out of it as you. I mean, I don't mean it that way. Gosh, I think you have a far better understanding of the intricacies of the markets. All I know is that everything that we everything we pay for, all the war, the everything else is paid for with this worthless paper. And I was talking to my husband last night about it. I said, what on earth is going on here? I mean, how can this be? And he said, it's the gross national product is what they measure our wealth by. And our gross national product must be pretty pathetic now because we all our jobs have gone overseas, and I don't have to go through that. Your listeners know all about that. So all I can say is really only Alice in Wonderland would probably find this a very interesting tunnel for one of the rabbits to go down. Everything, though, Dr. Stan, everything is upside down. And they can't, this situation cannot be solved unless we take some very, very hard, difficult steps. And they are recommended by Ron Paul. I mean, he's the only one, although they love to say nobody, not one of the candidates, has suggested how we can deal with the problems in the economy. Well, I don't know, the ghost candidate has. And nobody wants to listen to him because his recommendations are tough and they will be hard. But it could happen. You know, we could get ourselves out of this mess if we were not totally involved to the extent we are with the rest of the world and in debt to the Chinese. I mean, really, we couldn't fund the war. We couldn't have the war in Iraq if we didn't get money from the Chinese.
How much money are we
in debt to the Chinese? You know, probably. You've got those figures right at hand. I couldn't possibly pay for it.
Sure.
Could we?
No. Basically, of course, they hold between $800 and $900 billion of our money. And, of course, we're having to borrow about $2.5 billion a day just to keep going, just to pay our bills. We don't have any reserves. This is what people don't understand. The government doesn't have any money other than what it can borrow from others, what it can print up and inflate and destroy the value of the currency, or what it can get from taxation. And what they've done is they've cut the taxes, increased spending, and that's certainly a plan for disaster or a policy for disaster.
Doesn't make any sense at all. And then the only thing that really does have whole value are commodities, you know,
sure.
Such as, we better not use that bad four-letter word, right? Gold, my, gold, silver, other commodities, I understand, corn, rice, etc. These are actual things that you could put a value on.
And that's why gold was actually back up. Gold was back up to 8.90 today, 8.89, 8.90.
Yep.
After they knocked it down,
the last couple of days it went flying all down again. But I figured we all knew that one and one is two. You know, cause and effect. You know very well that when they do something like they've been doing the last few days, you know, gerrymandering the economy, gold is going to fluctuate a bit, and then it'll shoot right back up. It's like a boomerang. I mean,
sure. This
is a recipe, a total recipe for gold, I think. I'm not selling gold either, folks. But this is a recipe for gold to go through the ceiling.
Sure, and the thing is that the people in other countries are beginning to try to protect themselves. The Chinese, those who have money, are buying gold, and they have exchange traded funds. They have, you can take physical possession of the gold. Same thing's happening in India. Certainly, Russia is increasing its gold holdings. It holds, I think about the sixth largest reserves in the world. They have $450 billion, thanks, of course, to America, and transferring our wealth to them. Why would you do something like that? Why would sane people do something like that? Well, we're not dealing with sane people. We're not.
I don't know. Sometimes I think I give them more credit than I should as far as their being intelligent. I don't know that they are. I mean, what's his name who did this to us? The former head of Greenspan.
Greenspan, Alan, yes.
For heaven's sake. I mean, I think I really have come to the conclusion that is it possible that he's just stupid? Is it? Where are you, Dr. Stan? Hello? You disappeared. Huh? Hello? Hello? Huh? Okay. Hmm.
Hi, Charlotte. Are you there?
Hey, what happened?
Well, we're having some trouble. I don't know if we're being sabotaged or it's gremlins or...
Oh, I think
maybe
it's a riot.
You go right ahead.
It's because I mentioned Greenspan.
No, no. We didn't hang up on you. They hung up on us.
Then you fell off the face of the earth. Hey,
don't you worry about it. You go right ahead because
and
I'm just passionate about that.
What I said
say.
About Greenspan was... I think I've given him too much credit. I never liked him, and I know he's one of them and all that, right? But I'm beginning to think maybe he's just stupid.
No, he's not stupid. He's brilliant. Do you get my newsletter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I loved it. That's right. I got all those quotes.
What's your name?
Marvelous, what's your name, who interviewed Leslie Saul.
Yeah, that's, well, basically my latest newsletter, which is... part five of the financial meltdown.
I haven't opened it yet, or I haven't got it yet.
Okay, well, if you don't, why, you let me know, and we'll get it to you. But go into what I conjecture maybe Greenspan's motives, because I have no question he knew exactly what he was doing. And why he did it, I really don't know. Anyway, we certainly need to let the American people understand that whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, we're in for some very, very difficult financial times. Because, of course, we have given up our industrial base. Our automotive industry
Absolutely.
Is leaving. Our steel industry
right.
has largely been taken away from us.
Yeah.
Certainly the major manufacturing, whether it be in textiles, whether
right.
it be in furniture, all of this is gone. The only thing we really have, of course, is the high-tech as far as the Silicon Valley, certainly the computers and computer chips and things of that sort. And yet, of course, increasingly we're coming under competition from both the Chinese and the Indians,
mm-hmm.
who are very, very smart people. So we're not going to be able to depend on that indefinitely, and more Americans are losing their jobs. And what people have to understand is this is not happening by accident. It's happening by design.
Yes.
There are people who have a different worldview, and they really do intend to destroy our middle class, and boy, are they doing a great job of it.
Yeah. I think that's what we're looking at right now, and that has always been the goal of whether it's socialist or fascist or communist or capitalist, right?
Bad
capitalist, huh? We have to get rid of the middle class. That's the
right.
enemy. And they are doing that, and this is a mess right now. I have no more idea how it's going to turn. I can only see, I mean, they don't seem to be, they're certainly not going at it trying to resolve the problem in a rational, sensible way. I mean, they're just doing these stupid things, which you say are deliberate. I mean, they're because they want it to go down. I mean, really, they make the American people feel better because they're going to give them this $500 or $600 rebate, which they'll go out and spend it at the supermarket or, you know, to get their car fixed. I mean, really?
I mean, well, the thing is that the problem is not a matter of liquidity. You can pour all the money you want into the banking system. The trouble is that a lot of our banks are bankrupt. They're not solid. They've given up their stability. They have far more debts than they have assets, and you can't keep a banking system going that way. And what's really so interesting, I learned just this morning that suddenly almost all of the Swiss banks are refusing to take any money from the United States.
Right.
And I asked one of the people from Switzerland why in heaven's name that was. Were they worried about the dollar? And they said no. It's simply all the rules and regulations and what's going on in the United States. That's why they will, you cannot go over to Switzerland today and open an account. This is the first time in, probably 50 to 75 years
absolutely.
This has occurred. And, if people are already over there, fine. But if you want to try to get your money out of this country, you can't do it. And I suspect, of course, that the leaders of this whole international financial
right.
conspiracy are planning that so Americans will be trapped here. And, of course, most of them will lose their life savings, their wealth, everything they've worked for.
Oh, it's an absolute tragedy. But, the American people... I don't know. We're always talking. We talk this thing around and around and around. And I I just don't know whatever. They think, first of all, freedom is free. They think that money is free. You know, credit cards. They've got this idea that everything is free. You're no accountability. You don't, shouldn't expect it from the banks. You don't have to expect it from your husband. You know, I mean, we have this weird...
Yeah, there is no free lunch. No free lunch. We'll be right back with Charlotte Isabey.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case it's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest today is Charlotte Isabey. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to, have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. We're, right now, of course, talking about what's happening in the financial markets, and I suspect Charlotte will have some other things she'll want to talk about, but You have to understand this is all a byproduct of the Federal Reserve System and the fact we have a fiat money system. We have a ruling elite who got us into this mess, has been able to make fabulous fortunes by making money out of nothing, by the fractional reserve system, and then buying up the media and buying up the corporations and buying up, you know, so many of our natural resources and controlling certainly what goes on at our universities, endowing the universities as long as they follow the liberal line. And it's this reason that we're in the real trouble today. But the day of reckoning is going to come. And, of course, as more and more people lose their jobs, as more and more people lose their life savings, as more and more people lose their homes and their cars and everything else, why? I mean, you're going to see increasing social unrest in this country, which is why, I mean, they have all the concentration camps on hand. They know what they're doing, and they knew where this thing was going to end up, and that's why they're giving Halliburton $385 million a year to stand by to be ready to build concentration camps. It's a four-year contract. If you'd like to verify this, if you can't do it on your own, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a copy of the article out of my local newspaper. Although it's certainly been up on the Internet, you can readily verify it. Just type in Halliburton, Google Halliburton $385 million concentration camps. You'll get all sorts of articles on this. And where is the outcry from the American people? Why, they're saying it couldn't happen here, God wouldn't allow it to happen, and I will be raptured out of here before things get bad. And boy, I think there are a lot of people who are going to be in for a real big surprise, because if God is just, he is going to bring his judgment on this country. Well, go ahead, Charlotte.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I've been following this concentration camp thing for a long time, and I've got big files on it. And I've got that unbelievably good report by the doctor in from where? Louisiana. He did it about 25 years ago, and then he dropped dead or something. He'd done the Alaska thing, right? And there's a lot out there, and I try not to let it really affect my life. I think you know what I mean, Dr. Stan. You live two lives.
Right.
you sort of live one where, I mean, you can't let all of this get you down. I mean, everything is really in the hands of the Lord, but I don't want to sound like some of these evangelicals who think that since it's in the hands of the Lord, we shouldn't do anything, but it is in the hands of the Lord, but he expects us, you know, to do our part to bring about a kind of world that Jesus requested of all of us. I mean, that's the point. This is pure selfishness. This is pure hate your neighbor. It's very diabolical, and you're the one who's always pointed that out and given all the research behind it. But I really wonder how Americans, how do they think that they're going to deal with it? Oh, well, what's a stupid question? Excuse me. Americans don't even know anything's wrong.
I know. Well, they're going to find it. See, that's the good thing about this, is that they are going to find something's wrong, and maybe they'll start listening, or going to our listeners who have been trying to tell them something's wrong. And I think this may be the greatest opportunity we've ever had to reach people with the truth.
Well, we do have, I think it's, you know, we have Ron Paul, too, which is rather amazing. I can only believe that he has been sent to us from above. Why would he want to take on a mammoth job like this? I really wonder if he realized in the beginning that he was going to do so well. I think it was major reason that Paul was running was he wanted to educate everybody about these very issues we're talking about. And then there was this great, marvelous sort of uprising, peaceful revolution, people coming together from all different types of backgrounds and economic backgrounds and educational, color, race, you know, whatever. They all sort of sprang up. And so I think that there's hope there. Here you have this great man who dares to, you know, answer questions in debates, and he usually just answers it with one word. And that's great. My dad was a lawyer and very, very, very brief with his words. Very good guy. And he always said, just if you can get it down to one word, that's very helpful for people to understand. And Ron Paul, you know what his key word is. The Constitution.
Right, amen to that. Well, you hold that thought, and or a telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the two-book set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth." I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 postpaid to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Tourme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our telephone number, 1-800-259-5791. 1-800-259-5791. Our guest is Charlotte Isabey, and of course, hardly a day goes by I don't get a half a dozen emails from her on Ron Paul's campaign, and he's really doing amazingly well, isn't he?
He's doing so well. Yesterday he raised one day, and this is with all this bad news about the economy. In one day he raised, I think it was close to $2 million, and that's amazing. He did raise a tremendous amount. Remember the big money bomb earlier on, but with the economy as it is, the beginning of the year with income taxes coming up, this is amazing that he has raised that much money. And it looks like most of it divided it down into the number of donors and the amount of money. And it worked out at, you know, an average of $100 a shot. And that's so between $75 and $125. Those were small, those are small donations. And it's many, many people donating. So as I said before, we've got to ask ourselves, really, why have we got Ron Paul now? I mean, I like to ask myself that question. Say you're looking at, you're up on Mars, and you're looking down here, and you see this man arrives, and he's in these debates with all of these, excuse me, I'm not going to put an adjective on these elected officials that are running for the Republican nomination and the Democratic one as well. But, you know, and this person on Mars is looking, and they see all these people, they avoid the issue, they evade the truth, they lie, they stutter, and they smirk, and they laugh, and they roll their eyes at the one, the only one candidate who tells the truth. And he has an answer to everything, as I said before the break. His answer is, oh, well, you know, I don't have to go into that one because I voted the Constitution. And I think there was someone last night who told us, it sounds like something you would know, Dr. Stan, but they said Rosa Parks, when he didn't want to give money for some special event for Rosa Parks because he's Ron Paul, and he was asked why. They wanted to beat up on him, you know, oh, you know, you're anti-African-American or whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, oh, no, not at all. He said, I know Rosa Parks, and I have high regard for Rosa Parks. That's not it at all. And I will start an organization for all of us privately to donate. But the federal government shouldn't be doing it. It's not constitutional. So that's just an example of why Ron Paul always lands on his feet, because he uses the Constitution. And this drives the rest of them crazy, and I suppose I should look at it in a way that I really have rather enjoyed the fact that they have squirmed the way they have squirmed and then rolled their eyes and acted like he was, you know, a Fruit Loop. He's not. He's the only one out of both parties who makes any sense, who's honest, who has an extremely good voting record in the Congress. Anybody can go there to look at it. And he has a twinkle in his eye. He doesn't get upset because he's telling the truth, and there's nothing like the truth. So I just would I'd like to point out that with the two parties in Nevada, I finally learned how to pronounce Nevada. I used to say, I'm an Easterner, I used to call it Nevada. Nevada. In Nevada, he really did win Nevada. And for anybody who might question, I'd say, well, Romney won Nevada. And we thought Clinton won Nevada. No, not really. Romney's vote, and you have to give him credit, he did win legally, but it was definitely a religious vote because it showed up in both parties. So if you put that aside, who is the next candidate to get the most votes? Ron Paul. And he even got more votes than Hillary. So here is the ghost candidate. The candidate that the media just really wishes would go away and has done everything short of you-know-what to get rid of him. And if it isn't obvious to Americans what's happened here, anyone even watching just the nightly news, if they ever heard of an individual by the name of Ron Paul, they must be asking questions. So he is an enormous threat. And why is he this enormous threat? Because he threatens the whole power structure of the establishment, the banks, the Federal Reserve, the income tax, the Department of Education, the whole structure. He threatens it. He's really, I would almost call him a saint. He's come in at a very important time. So I compare him to, I call him the man for all seasons, like Thomas More. He's come in at this terribly important time in the history of the world, and he makes sense.
And I think the people who hear his message realize he makes sense. Of course, they're going along with this, you know, the mantra, well, of course, he may be all right, but of course he can't win. And of course, that is what the other side is telling us. He can't win, so why back him? And of course, the thing is, he could win because I believe the majority of our people do believe in the Constitution, do want to limit the power of government, want to get the IRS off of our back, would like to get a sound monetary system, and of course, he is the only person that stands up against this globalist movement, this move on the part of the elite to create a one-world government,
that's right,
a one-world religion, and the coming world leader. Of course, he doesn't perhaps express it exactly like that, but that's exactly what it's all about. And until the American people understand that there is an elite, they've been around for thousands of years, and that's what they've always wanted. And, of course, if you go along with them, you're going to get great wealth and power, and why, you might even become president of the United States like Bill Clinton or George Herbert Walker Bush or George
right.
Bush or Ronald Reagan. They all compromised their positions. And, of course, so that's why they were the president. But, you know, you're answerable to God. And I would far rather, you know, do what I should do rather than be president.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And I think that that what he's doing, it would be a lot easier for him to have just said, it's so bad out there, it really doesn't make any difference, I can't do it, you know, why don't I just... And he's not young, really. I mean, he's, what, 73 or something?
72, right.
72. I mean, it's just, we are so fortunate that he cares enough to do this for all of us. And the other thing is that the other candidates are, and this isn't because necessarily because I don't like Hillary Clinton or Obama or whoever. There are only two left now, right, really, huh? And it's simply that there is no way that our country could survive with either of them.
Leticia.
And there's no way it could survive with any of the Republican candidates. There's just no way. But that doesn't mean that Ron Paul could do it all on his own. He can't. He's just the president. And people, we seem to forget that that's sometimes, I think, really is less important than the Congress. But if we could get someone who could use that as the White House as a bully pulpit, and maybe the Congress would see that the American people are reacting to the words of this extraordinarily bright, pleasant, courageous individual. He's very pleasant. I really like him because he's not negative. He's not nasty. And he's easy to understand. And he has a record. So, you know, there just isn't anyone else out there. And that's what makes me so sad. I mean, I would like to have had it that there might have been a Democratic candidate that I could possibly vote for with a good conscience. That I might not like him much. And I might, you know, maybe 80% of the things he was going to do, I was opposed to, but at least 20% I might be in favor of. But there is nobody who is going to do anything right.
Well, of course,
there
is one, of course, and that's Dennis Kucinich, who is very, very close to Ron Paul.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But under any circumstances, I hope that you'll vote for Ron rather than Dennis. Our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800. Our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791 if you'd like to give us a call. And, of course, we can talk about the things that are going on. But right now, of course, our guest is Charlotte Isabey. Charlotte, before I go on, would you like to get your website out?
I will. My primary website is DeliberateDumbingDown.com. And that's where you can find my book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, which is also now a free download if you want to read 700 pages on the Internet. And some people do sort of enjoy things like that, I think. But Dr. Stan is also selling that book, so I really would like you to buy it through him, if you can. It's a wonderful book, and it's got a lot of very important information, including information that is not necessarily education, although education and politics are directly connected. My other website, secondary one, is a wonderful one. My son is involved in that one, and it's called AmericanDeception.com. And that is the website that has the great report out of the Congress, the Congressional Report on the Investigation of the Tax-Exempt Foundations, that where Norman Dodd was the research director, 3,000 pages of testimony, and that is just dynamite. I can't say that I've read all of it. I wish I didn't have as much to do in my life. I would sit and read every word of that. And you can go there. That's 3,000 pages, but there are about 80,000 pages of original primary research scanned in, so it really is the original documents, scanned in, dealing with all sorts of interesting subjects, including education, including the Masons, a lot on the Masons, and the occult, and politics, communism, extraordinary original documents that nobody's ever seen before. And I think you'll enjoy that website, and I urge you to go there. I went there today myself, and I thought, oh my goodness, I wish I could stay here longer. Because I mean, how could, you know very well, nobody's capable of reading 90,000 pages, even if they lived as old as Methuselah. And it's got a lot up there. And it's terrific stuff, folks, and I hope you go there. It's AmericanDeception.com, and the other one is DeliberateDumbingDown.com.
Okay, yeah. And I recommend that material on the Reach Committee. And there you'll find, of course, what was written. They've had to suppress, and that is the fact that the great tax-exempt foundations were financing the communist movement here in the United States and the communist effort throughout the world and the socialist effort. And I mean, we're talking about Rockefeller Foundation, Ford Foundation, Carnegie Foundation. And people said, why would they be financing communism? And that is because there's always been an alliance between the leaders of our side and their side. And if you haven't, of course, seen our pamphlet on the communist-capitalist alliance, you need to get it. And then, of course, you need to read our newsletters and, of course, get Professor Sutton's book on Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, and certainly my interview with Professor Sutton before he passed away, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. And that's exactly what it's all about. You see, both sides want exactly the same thing. The leaders of the communist movement want a world government, a world religion, and a world leader. Both groups believe that an elite should rule the world. Both groups, I believe, are energized by a dark and sinister spiritual force, and we cover that in our January newsletter. And, of course, both groups certainly believe that they need an enemy to rally the people behind them. And as Plato had said so well, when the tyrant is disposed of the enemy by treaty or consent, and there's nothing to fear from him, then he's always out rounding up another enemy or another war so he can rally the people behind him. And that's what it's all about. And that's what, of course, Iraq and Afghanistan are all about. That's what Vietnam was all about. That, and, of course, they were excellent diversions, so we wouldn't see what was happening at home. That's what the no-win war in Korea was all about. And until the American people can begin to realize we had a no-win war in Korea, we had a no-win war in Vietnam, and we got a no-win war in Iraq today, and that's the December newsletter, where we quote the commander of the coalition forces in Iraq from June of 2003 to June of 2004. And what does he say? We weren't allowed to win the war. We weren't given the material we needed politically to win this war. And, I mean, it is a damning indictment of the Bush administration and the State Department. Of course, Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez really doesn't understand the Council on Foreign Relations or the Bilderbergers or the Trilateral Commission, the things we talk about, but he does know that he was sent over there and he was in command and he was sending boys to die when they weren't allowed to win the war. And you need to get the information, and it'll be in the December letter if you want to get a copy of it. That'll be coming probably quite soon. Go right ahead, Charlotte.
Well, I think that, you know, because you have all the research, I have a lot of the research, but there's a marvelous book, and it is at AmericanDeception.com, and I don't know if your readers have ever heard of it. Some of them may know of it. I collect this book because I know it's going to be very, very valuable someday, and I get signed copies. But it's called From Major Jordan's Diary.
Oh, that's a wonderful book, yeah.
It is an extraordinary book, and it is on that website, AmericanDeception.com.
Oh, okay. If I'd known that, I would have put that as a reference on my newsletter, because January newsletter, we refer to that. And the fact that Major Jordan tells how we were sending these massive supplies of non-military equipment to Russia during the Second World War so that they could build up their economy after the Second World War, how we sent them the secrets for the Manhattan Project, the atom bomb during the war, even to send them the deuterium, the heavy water, you know, how...
Yes.
we were doing everything we could. In fact, he even goes into the fact that how the United States Treasury Department gave the communists copies of the printing plates that were used to print our military script so they could print the military script, and that we would have to redeem it, $225 million worth of military script, and that in those days that was a lot of money, and we had to redeem it so that the communists could occupy Eastern Europe. And why did they do that? Because there's always been a communist-capitalist alliance, but we can't let the suckers know.
That's right, and that's a great book, and not only is it terribly important to read it, I mean, it will really open your eyes to it wasn't just under Eisenhower that the agreements with the Soviet Union got started. It goes back, way, way back to the beginning of the century, but as far as actual deliberate treason taking place during the Roosevelt years, it was World War II. This book is beyond belief, and it's, you know, there's some books that are dry and not very interested and interesting when you're reading them, but Major Jordan, he has a very good sense of humor. He was a good friend of the Soviet colonel that he was working with on this Lend-Lease project. In fact, I think the Soviet colonel was responsible for him getting a promotion. But when I go back and I read that book and I see where when Major Jordan was, you know, up in Nebraska.
Hey, we're out of time.
Yep.
We're running out of time. Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Folks, this is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Stand back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course this is the time when I have to remind our leaders and our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and, you know, we're going to keep up our 60 outlets, or almost 60 outlets every week. Why? We do need your help. So if you'd like to, and you're in a position to help us, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, and you can subscribe to our newsletter. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or you can make a massive donation, whatever you really think. But I really believe that the only way we're going to have an impact is by talk radio and utilize those stations that still will carry our programs and just to continue expanding our outreach across America, across the world. So then, of course, we do hope that many of you, because you remember, you can certainly get in touch with us by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Then, of course, we do hope that many of you, if you're concerned about what's happening financially, will be interested in getting our little pamphlets. We have one pamphlet that's called The Financial Meltdown. It's a compilation of five of my newsletters. We have another pamphlet on the history of money, and these are only $3.95 plus shipping and available, you know, in bulk if you want large orders of them. But they will really give you insight into what's going on. We have another new pamphlet that's just off the press right now, and it's called The True Story of 9-1-1. The True Story of 9-1-1, with a lot of information that nobody else has published, going into the fact that there was foreknowledge, the attack was coming, and nothing was done to stop it. And what did Condoleezza Rice say when she was asked why nothing was done? And we have this, of course, from Thomas Keene's book and actually from the testimony. So we know it's accurate, her testimony before the 9-1-1 commission. Under any circumstances, we do hope that you want to get these pamphlets. And then, of course, we do have the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And if you get that and you ask for it, you'll get a copy of a interview I did with Ed Griffin. And we'll throw that in if you buy the book to us. And then, of course, that's The Creature from Jekyll Island. We also carry The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, a great little book he wrote before he passed away. And then the book Fiat Money, Inflation in France. And if you read those books, you'll know more about economics than the average university professor. So you'll at least understand the Federal Reserve System, and you'll certainly want to get my latest a little pamphlet on the financial meltdown, because I tell you why I believe, and I may be wrong on this, but why I believe that Alan Greenspan destroyed our monetary system and laid the foundation for the destruction of the American dollar. And nobody else has suggested it, and of course, only time will tell. We may never know whether I'm right or wrong, but it's an interesting thing to conjecture. That's the financial meltdown pamphlet. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will certainly go to our website at radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 4 hours a day on the Internet live. And there's 9 hours of feed there that you can listen to. There are archive programs, there are MP3 programs, and they're free. Of course, if you can help us, we'd certainly appreciate it. We have a section of DVDs, and many of our DVDs are there. The Brotherhood of Darkness, the Forbidden Secret, Dr. Ayoub's wonderful, wonderful talk on Mercury Autism and the global population control agenda. Many of the DVDs we've made are posted up there on the Internet, and we invite you to get them. And if you'd like to get the hard copies of those DVDs, of course, they're available from Radio Liberty. One of the better ones we have is Constance Cumby on The Emergence, talking about the coming world leader. And then, of course, Chris Pinto on The Atlantis Connection, the plan to use America to become the new Atlantis and to bring the entire world into the New World Order and the New World Religion. Well, our telephone number again, 1-800-544-8927, and please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. We'll be right back.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for this hour, they're going to be the views of Steve Alton, who's written a new game, a new book. It's called The Shell Game. When did that come out, Steve?
It came out today.
All right, fine. Well, we're right on this. And of course, what does this deal with? What is The Shell Game?
Well, The Shell Game is a thriller, but it's also a must-read cautionary tale. It's a fictional story that exposes peak oil and the next 9/11, which is an event that's designed to justify a retaliatory chemical weapons strike on Iran. And although the novel is written as fiction, it's filled with all-too-real details provided by insiders in the oil industry and the military and the Middle Eastern affairs. And what the book does is it extrapolates real events that have happened with 9/11 and peak oil and the invasion of Iraq and tells us about the next path that the neoconservatives are leading us down to.
And I think it really is so important that people really do understand the neoconservatives, this group of people who are certainly not in any way conservative, you know, are really at taking the United States, you know, from war to war. And I share your concern. I think that they are dedicated to going to war with Iran, and they're just looking for an excuse.
And they're going to make one if they have to. And you know, they have their own agenda that they believe the rest of us have to follow. And they're going to do everything in their power to take us down there.
And, of course, all we need to do is see what George Bush was doing. I guess it was just last week when he was over in the Middle East. And he was making all these inflammatory statements about how Iran was a threat to the whole world. And the whole world was going to have to take steps against Iran before it was too late. And, you know, here's little Iran, you know. Certainly they've got, I don't know, 60, 70 million people there, and they got a fair amount of money. But, you know, they certainly don't have a good military. There's no way that they can threaten the rest of the world. But they've got to have a threat to justify an attack. And I certainly agree with you. Well, how do you get your information? You mentioned that you have other sources of information. Do you have friends who are working certainly in government who can get information, or at least, I know they can't come out and tell you what's really going on, but at least infer what's going on?
Well, some have. Since I started writing books back in 1996, I've been able to stay in touch with my readers and get to know a lot of them through email, and so I've sort of made a catalog of different professionals, and you know, I was able to tap into my military sources and political sources and oil sources. But also, you know, there's a lot of good material out there and a lot of good articles. And based upon all those things, you know, a lot of the things the 9/11 Truth Movement uses now to expose the lies of 9/11 and all those things played into the book.
All right. Now, you actually get into 9/11 and the fact that this really is not what we've been told?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the book takes place, it opens up in the year 2007, right just where we are about now, and with the Democrats and Republicans you know, going back and forth with the election, with Bush basically doing whatever he wants and without being challenged. And in the prologue, it basically lays it out from a neoconservative perspective that what they want to do is engage Iran, and they need an excuse to do it. Or let's put it this way, they fear that the Iranians are going to enrich uranium and give the enriched uranium to terrorists to use for suitcase nukes. And the nightmare scenario that they're presenting is that what happens if 10 or 20 suitcase nukes goes off in our major cities? You know, you'd have utter chaos and the downfall of civilization. And so in order to counteract that, what they want to do is allow one to go off. And that would give them the excuse they need to invade Iran. And so the plot is sort of laid out in the prologue.
Hold that thought right there, Steve. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Steve Alton, who is a writer, and he's written a number of fiction stories, but they're based upon fact. And, of course, his latest book, which is just released today, called The Shell Game, goes into the background of the move by a group of neoconservatives. Now, for those of you out there in the listening audience who honestly believe that you vote for the candidate of your choice, and that is what determines what our government does, it's really not true. There's a group of neoconservatives, and you can look them up on the Internet, Sidney Cheney and Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz and Richard Perle, and certainly you go down the line, but there's a group of neoconservatives who really control our government and our foreign policy, and they were the ones, of course, who wanted to get us into war in Afghanistan, wanted to get us into a war with the Iraq, and, of course, according to Steve's book, and I think it's absolutely right, they want to get us into a war with Iran, and they're looking for an excuse to do that. And then, of course, the book deals with this whole concept of peak oil. What is your take on peak oil, Steve?
Well, peak oil, first of all, King Hubbard was the man who discovered that all oil, whether it's found in the United States or other countries or the world as a whole, has peaks like a bell-shaped curve. And once you're past the bell-shaped curve, the peak of it, then you're on the back side of it and you're starting to begin to run out. World oil levels peaked, we now know, in 2005, which basically means that we are using more oil every day than we're drawing out of the ground. And it's going even faster now that China and India have, with their huge populations, are moving into the Western civilization and as far as their uses, automobiles and energy. So peak oil is a belief that we are running out of oil very quickly, and the repercussions of that are devastating, because what most people don't realize is that there is no substitute for oil/gasoline, and that oil and gasoline mobilize our economy. They make it possible for 2% of our farmers to feed 300 million people, bring products and goods to service and services to market, and without it, there's not a whole lot we can do. And, you know, I live down in Florida, and we've been hit by many hurricanes. So we're sort of accustomed to losing power for a week or two, to see the grocery stores, the shelves barren of food, and the gasoline lines.
Hold that thought right there, Steve. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Steve was just talking about the fact that the peak oil, that he believes that the Hubbert curve is accurate, and Hubbert used to work for Shell Oil Company, but he said that there was going to be a peak of oil here in the United States in 1972, and we would then be making less here and less oil and natural gas than we were using, and that's exactly right. And then of course, this has been carried forward to world production, and Steve says that, of course, the world oil production peaked out just a few years ago. And, of course, we cannot get by without oil. And they can talk all they want to about wind power and solar power, but, I mean, how many cars have you ever seen, you know, with solar panels on the roof or with a windmill up on the roof to give them the power so they can drive? And, of course, we're totally dependent upon oil. And, And you picked the story up there, Steve, about the importance of oil for the survival of industrialized society.
Well, peak oil theorists, and I concur with their beliefs, believe that there's a big rollover coming, and what it is, it's mass chaos brought about the fact that segments of society will collapse and without oil. And if you can imagine, it will start as mass blackouts and continue on with long gasoline lines. Eventually, no gasoline will arrive, and no more food will arrive. And you know, this is a devastating thing that can happen, and we are not prepared for it because at this moment there is no substitute for oil. And we have got to get our priorities straight with society. But, you know, the neoconservatives knew this. I mean, Bush, Cheney, Condoleezza Rice were all in the oil industry before they were in office. And Cheney held secret energy meetings, which he still refuses to reveal who was in those meetings, although we know pretty much it was the oil company executives. And shortly after that, 9/11 happened. And of course, there are beliefs whether it was allowed to happen or made to happen, but you know, Shell Game certainly touches in on that and extrapolates that information forward to the 2012 election.
And of course, sometimes it's easier to tell a story in fiction form than in fact form. In fact, certainly if you got a good storyline, people will read the book because they're hooked on the book, and in the process, of course, they begin to learn things that they would never have ever thought of or heard of before. Otherwise, so is there anything that we should know about your views of what happened on 9/11? Did they allow it to happen? Did they make it happen? Did they know it was going to happen beforehand?
Well, there's overwhelming evidence that indicates that they knew it was going to happen, and they allowed it to happen / made it happen in the effect that we now know, and this comes from a terrific book, Crossing the Rubicon, by Michael C. Rupert, that there were at least 4 to 5 different types of war games that were staged on 9/11. They had actually been scheduled to happen in late October, but they were deliberately pushed up. Cheney was running NORAD at the time, and these war games effectively put false blips on radar screens of air traffic controllers while the planes were being hijacked, so they couldn't tell what was being hijacked and what was a false blip. Essentially, there was interference on 9/11, and none of these things were ever brought up in the 9/11 investigations. None of them ever made the final 9/11 investigation book that was sold. The Bush administration doesn't want to answer any questions about it. In fact, they didn't even want to investigate it.
No, they certainly didn't. Well, what is your take on it? Do you think that they participated in this at all? In other words, do you think there may have been some explosives, at least in some of the buildings, to explain their rapid descent? Then, of course, they let the terrorists go ahead and fly the planes into the buildings. What is your take on it, or do you even want to get into that? Because we know what happened to Michael Rupert. Or have you had the chance to get hold of Michael since he disappeared here a few months ago?
Yeah, Mike and I have spoken several times, and he absolutely loves the book, and he's remaining retired for now, but he concurs in everything with the book. The point of the book is, first and foremost, my goal was to write a thriller that people would enjoy. But having investigated peak oil, which led me to the events of 9/11 and what really happened, and extrapolating that information forward to where we're approaching now, where the next 9/11 event is already in the planning stages as an excuse to get us into Iran, now the book means a whole lot more. It's a tool to get the truth out there. It's a tool that can educate the masses as part of entertainment.
And I think, of course, it's so vitally important that our people all across America, at least those we can reach, begin to understand that the plan has already been made for an attack on Iran. It's just a matter of not if, but when, and how they will come up with some sort of a justification. They have to have an incident. They had to have an incident to get us into the Second World War. They had to have an incident to get us into the Spanish-American War. That was the sinking of the battleship Maine. I mean, they had to have certainly an incident to get us into Vietnam. That was the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which didn't occur. They had to have an incident to get us, into the Korean War. And, of course, they had to have an incident to get us into the first Gulf War. That was the invasion of Kuwait, which the American government, the American ambassador, April Glaspie, certainly did everything she could to encourage Saddam to go ahead and attack by telling him that we would not be in the least bit concerned if there was a, if he were to use his troops against Kuwait. And boy, was he surprised to find out April had lied to him. And then, of course, we had to have the incident or the threat to get us into the war with Iraq. That was the weapons of mass destruction. Oh, shucks, we just made a mistake, but nobody got fired. You know, thousands of American boys are dead. Hundreds of thousands, if not over a million Iraqis are dead. But nobody's ever been fired for giving us faulty information because, after all, people do make mistakes, don't they? But, of course, now I think it's so important, Steve, that you're bringing out, and perhaps we can influence people. I don't think we're going to stop the attack on Iran, but at least people will begin to understand when the attack comes or when the incident comes, it's going to be used to justify the attack. So do you want to talk at all about, of course, what this incident is going to be? Is it going to be a...
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, the shell game, and I agree wholeheartedly with the things that you just said, you know, that is the essence of the shell game. The shell game is, in essence, a con. And we are the ones that are being duped. And what you have to realize is that at this point, the United States military is broken. Bush broke it, and to the effect that we now have troops going over 3, 4, 5 different times. They're not getting the type of psychological care they need. They're not in good shape at this point. You know, they're heroic, they're courageous, but the army has been broken. We're not even sure who we're fighting anymore. So we're in no position anyway to invade Iran. What it's going to come down to is an incident that is so horrific that it gives us, essentially the world gives the nod for us to retaliate in a way that uses weapons of mass destruction. Now, I'm not talking nuclear retaliation because we don't want to go nuclear because that would destroy the oil fields. What it will be is either biological or chemical attack, most likely a chemical attack with a VX nerve agent, which will neutralize and kill off large segments of the population and allow us to do what we want to do. And so you're talking about the sacrifice of upwards or more of a million Americans with a nuclear suitcase bomb that will be blamed upon Iran and give us the excuse we need. And that is essentially what the shell game is about.
And of course, would there anybody be evil enough to allow an attack on America that would kill a million people? Well, they certainly knew that the 9-1-1 attack was coming. Certainly, you can read Sybil Edmonds' material, or if one of the hijackers had actually defected, back in April of 2000 and told the FBI that he'd been trained to hijack the planes and they were going to destroy the planes. He gave them all the details, but they never asked him who the other hijackers were, and they got him out of the country as soon as they could. They knew the attack was coming, and they didn't try to stop it. So, you know, certainly, if they would allow 3,000 Americans, is there much difference between 3,000 and a million Americans? And, you know, I think that your idea of a nuclear attack on America to use as a justification for going to war with Iran is certainly feasible.
And, you know, we can sit here, as you know, with common sense and rational human beings and say, how can you justify that? Well, they do justify it, and they justify it by saying, well, what would you rather have? Would you rather have one suitcase bomb go off, or would you rather have 20? Because if you have 20 going off, you basically lost the United States. I mean, there'll be absolute martial law, which there may be anyway, everyone... rights will be revoked, the borders will be closed, and on down the line. So you sacrifice a city to save 300 million people. And that's how people justify it. That's how people justify murder. And they believe that they're doing the right thing. And that's what's so sick about the whole thing.
And, of course, there are people who look at the world differently than you and I. And that's, I think that's the hardest thing, Steve, for the average individual to believe that there could be people who would be callous and crash and indifferent, who would certainly be willing to barter a million American lives for a greater good. But until people understand that there are people out there with that mentality, and they've already killed probably close to a million Iraqis and of course contaminated that whole area of depleted uranium, so why should they be worried about a few American lives?
And they never sacrifice themselves, of course. Yeah. They always sacrifice. It's for the good of the people, but they always sacrifice everyone else.
And, of course, that's sort of the elitist concept, you know. Some people are born to rule, or most people are born to be ruled. And the elite, of course, will gladly send our boys over to seas to fight and bleed and suffer and die, but not their sons.
Exactly.
And I think a good case of that would be Vietnam and a young man named George W. Bush, who, of course, was given a free pass, so he didn't have to go over and risk his life during Vietnam. But now, of course, he's not at all adverse to sending American boys over there. And many of them are ill-equipped. And many of them are ill. And many of them, of course, are going back to the second or third or maybe even the fourth tour over there. And every one of those tours, you know, that does something to the soul of the individual. I mean, you can't be involved with killing other human beings and not have it have an effect on you. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment with Steve Alton, and we'll tell you how to get the book. And if you'd like to give us a call, the number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, Steve, you've written a number of books before. I went to your website or went up there, and how many books have you written?
The Shell Game is my eighth.
Okay, fine. So you're pretty well used to doing this sort of thing, then.
Yeah, although this book is quite different than my other books.
All right, fine. Well, of course, you develop a group of loyal readers who are just waiting and hanging on, for the next book that you're going to write.
Absolutely. And I'm loyal to them, too.
And how is this book different than those you've done before?
Well, all of my books tend to be thrillers and pretty much page-turners. There's not many boring sections in the book. They're fast reads. Although this is a 500-page book, it's a pretty fast read. So in that sense, it's similar to my other books. But this is more... You know, this is more real. This is things that are happening right now. This is real life and death situations. And it took me a lot longer to write. It took me 2.5 years to write. It was a very stressful time. I was having nightmares about these stories. I knew that it was real what I was writing about. I was concerned about my own welfare. And about the time that I started, about midway through the book, I began getting tremors in my right leg, and which eventually went up to my right arm, and 4 months ago, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And I'm sure the stress of writing the Shell Game exacerbated those symptoms as well.
Well, I certainly hope that you don't drink Diet Coke or things like that with aspartame in them, because that's one of the causes. That's why.
I read that, I heard that, and no, I don't.
All right, fine. And, of course, if you'd like to call me off the air, I can put you in touch with people a lot smarter than I am into things like this. Because we're seeing such an explosion of neurodevelopmental diseases, and of course you are, I assume, a fairly young individual.
Well, anyway. Yeah, I'm 48, and I work out about 6 times a week, and so I'm pretty active. And the Parkinson's doesn't scare me. The implications of the Shell Game scare me.
All right. Well, I think the implications of the Shell Game are really very, very real, and I think it's very hard for the average individual to really think that we could ever have anything bad happened in America. Oh, yeah, we did have 9/11. We did have Katrina. We did have, the attack on Pearl Harbor. But here on the homeland of America, other than a few bizarre terrorist attacks we've had, and then, of course, 9/11, why, nothing has really ever happened. The American people have always lived so comfortably and protected. And yet, of course, you're foreshadowing, and your story foreshadows some terrifying events.
Yeah, and the problem is that you get hit like we were hit on 9/11, and immediately within hours they had the 19 suspects, their pictures in the front paper, and you have to question certain things. I mean, the audacity of what was presented to us, the lies, and that we just did it hook, line, and sinker. You have to question things, because if you don't, then it will happen again. And it's easy to blame a bunch of Saudi nationals, and I'm not saying they're not to blame. But how was this allowed to happen? How was it that the most guarded airspace in the world was allowed to be infiltrated after two other planes that already hit the World Trade Center to have another one circle and circle until it decided to hit the Pentagon. I mean, it's, you know, it's outrageous, and you have to look at the evidence, and of course the evidence is being kept from us, and the investigations have halted, and we're told what we're supposed to be told.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Steve was just talking about the strange things that happen surrounding 911. Here we're told the FBI had no idea an attack was coming. The FBI had no idea who the terrorists were, and yet within 48 hours they had the pictures of all 19. You know, not 17 or 16 or 14. They had pictures of all 19. They knew about their life histories. And isn't that amazing that they could be so incompetent and then suddenly, you know who all the hijackers were within 24 to 48 hours? I mean, that is the most amazing bit of detective work in all history. Or they're lying to us, and they're lying because they do not want the American people to know that they allowed those Americans to die. And as you know, over 1,100 of the bodies from the World Trade Center have never been recovered. Well, why weren't they just squashed when the building collapsed? I mean, if you're there, you're going to get squashed, but the bodies disappeared. They were like they were vaporized, and there's so many unanswered questions. Well, Steve, of course, has written a thriller, and of course, he really believes, and I believe as well, that they're going to have to engineer an incident to get us into a war with Iran. And it should be very obvious to everybody out there in the listening audience, if you read the papers at all, that the neoconservatives who control America's government, and certainly George Bush is simply a figurehead for them, and you can all tell who's really running things. Always look behind George Bush. You'll see Dick Cheney standing there. He's a leader of the neoconservatives, member of the Trilateral Commission, and one of the people who really runs America. And of course, when George Bush speaks, why, of course, you want to watch Dick Cheney's lips under any circumstances. Why, of course, I think that we are in very real trouble. And I think that if there were to be a major terrorist attack, another major terrorist attack, that would destroy one of our cities or the infrastructure of our cities, there would be terrible panic in America. Don't you think, Steve?
I agree. And because of the last one, Bush and Cheney bulldozed through Congress without having them read it, the Patriot Act. And the Patriot Act gives the president the ability to institute martial law, to postpone elections, to arrest anyone who they consider a dissenter, which means that, God help us if attack were to occur in October or before the next election, he could postpone the election, and Congress would be forbidden to even consider revoking what he's doing for at least 6 months. And this is what it says in the Patriot Act.
And, of course, then we have the Patriot Act and the Office of Homeland Security Act. We
yes.
have the Military Commissions Act and the John Warner the Defense Appropriations Act. And we have, of course, the edict that was passed last year, that the Presidential Decision Directive, I believe it was 20 and 57, that allows him to declare an emergency at any time he determines, and it can last as long as he wants, and neither Congress nor anybody else can intervene. I mean, this is really scary, and you know, even somebody like Patrick Leahy, who is certainly not my favorite senator, but he's a liberal Democrat, but he says this is a blueprint for dictatorship.
Absolutely, and he was bulldozed, too. I mean, you know, when right after 9/11, Senate Majority Leader at the time, Tom Daschle, was calling for investigations, and immediately Cheney and Bush met with him, and no more investigations. And, of course, he later got anthrax, courtesy of the CIA labs in Fort Detrick.
And I think that's so interesting that it was only Democrat senators, the only politicians that got it. You would think that the terrorists would be equal opportunity terrorists and would, of course, send some of the envelopes to the Republicans, but only the Democrats got it. And isn't it interesting that Dick Cheney and his staff all went on to a Cipro, which is specific for anthrax, on September 11th. The very evening of the attack. Why would they do that? Take something that can rupture your tendons, potentially dangerous, unless they knew the attack was coming. And if they knew the attack was coming, why didn't they tell all of the senators and all of the American people? But, of course, nobody ever wants to ask those questions. Well, you know, there's just so much to conjecture over there, and I believe we're living in very, very difficult times. If you're out there in the listening audience, you know, like Dr. Steve, he's done a lot of research on this. He feels very deeply about the very real danger to the United States from the neoconservative movement. If you don't know who they are, get onto a computer and type in neoconservatives or Project for the New American Century or the American Enterprise Institute and learn about these people who control our government. And you think that you elect the president? No. You select the candidate of their choice and he does what he's supposed to do. And until you understand that out there in the listening audience, until you begin to... And this is why I think this is such an important book, because it goes into the neoconservatives and their, of course, control over American foreign and domestic policy. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Steve Alton, his book, The Shell Game, and we'll tell you how to get it. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Steve Alton, and his book is The Shell Game, and it's just coming out today, so we really won't know for a few weeks, of course, what's going to happen. Do you have some sort of publicist who's going to help you get this information out on the book?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a full-blown marketing plan we've got. There's a first edition, 40,000 copies were printed. We've already pre-sold 37,000 of them. They're going to be displayed on front tables in Barnes & Noble and Borders. They're going to be in airports. And of course, it's been selling on Amazon.com for the last couple of weeks. But, you know, if you don't see the book, just ask for it. And hopefully if it becomes a bestseller, and I've had two other bestsellers, but if this one rises quickly to the top, what it does is it brings the message to the masses in a form of a fictional thriller. And sometimes that's the best way to do it.
And I really think it really is, because sometimes if you try to get and lecture people on what's going on there, they're not going to listen to you. But, of course, as Michael Crichton did with his book on global warming, you know, I think that he convinced an awful lot of people with a thriller that, of course, global warming was a scam. And, of course, I'm hoping that your book, you know, will convince people that much of what we've been told about not what happened on September 11, 2001 is not true. And, of course, I've forewarned people about the very real possibility that they're going to come up with some sort of a false flag operation to get us into a war with Iran. And I think it's so important that people understand that there really is an agenda to take us to war with Iran. And, you know, certainly this really doesn't make sense, because the implications of a war with Iran, I mean, this could suddenly break open the whole of the Middle East. Certainly, it would stimulate the jihadist movement, which is already a danger of taking over Pakistan and certainly Turkey and overthrowing the various countries down there, the Emirates, countries down there along the Persian Gulf, and even Saudi Arabia and Egypt are threatened by this radical movement. And I would think that if America went into Iran, this could really stimulate this whole radical Islamic movement. What are your thoughts on that, Steve?
I agree, and it's, what's amazing is that Iran and Iraq really weren't the enemies, weren't the threats. The bigger threat is Saudi Arabia.
Absolutely.
And what's really, you know, you have to realize is that our oil dollars feed their kingdom. The royals take all the money, siphon it right off the top. The people get very little to nothing. And then the royals, in order to maintain power over their own population, feed into the Wahhabi beliefs, which is the radical religious beliefs.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment when we bring other stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Steve Alton. His book, The Shell Game, and of course it's just been released today. They've actually printed 40,000 copies. 37,000 are already pre-sold. And, of course, who did actually publish that for you?
I've been with some big New York publishers, but this one, I could not sell the book to the big New York houses. They were afraid of it. They wanted to steer clear with it. And so I went to a publishing house that's been been around for about 23 years out in Utah called Cedar Fort Books. They're primarily an LDS market, a Latter-day Saints market, so you would think that the last people you'd want to go to is, you know, someone who's never published fiction before, and yet one of their sales manager contacted me when he heard the book was available. He requested a copy of the manuscript. He read it. He loved it. The owners read it and loved it, and they got the message, and I thought it was quite apropos, really, that a novel written by a Jewish registered Democrat living on the East Coast would be purchased by a group of Republican Mormons living in a Utah, in a red state like Utah, and it just goes to show you that the message transcends any political affiliation.
Well, you know, what's really so interesting to me is that, you know, as we look and see what's unfolding, we find that there's a great deal of agreement between many people on the left and many people on the right. At least those people are thinking in both groups who realize the danger to our country. And of course, these terms left and right, they want us fighting back and forth. And there would be some things we wouldn't agree on, but there'd be a lot of things we would agree on. And many people on the left are really concerned about the loss of freedom. What disturbs me is that many people on the right don't seem to be. They'll go right along with whatever the Bush administration says or does, and after all, we have a Christian president. We've got to trust him. But, of course, when a Christian president is doing some of the things that have been done, I think that we really, of course, need to be very, very concerned, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. But as far as the Republican Mormons and and yourself, you know, I think it tells us a great deal about what's going on today, and I think there's going to be a lot of changes in political alignment. We see this with Ron Paul's presidency, where a lot of people on the left are backing him because, of course, he talks about freedom in the Constitution, and they want freedom in the Constitution, and certainly there's some of us on the right who want exactly the same things. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling from the Bay, calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How did you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yeah, just a question, Stan. If you could just take a minute or two and explain the term neocon. I just think it's a very confusing term, probably by design.
All right. I think that's a good point. Would you like for our listeners out there who do not understand the term neocon to explain what it is?
Well, a neoconservative is, you know, definitely has a particular opinion about how the world should be run, that the United States should be the all-consuming power, that's what's best for the world, that if we control the world's energy supplies, that's key to delivering peace, that, you know, our message of being a quote-unquote Christian nation transcends all other religious beliefs. And you know, they've even had the audacity to print on their website the Project for a New American Republic for a New American Century, which is a document that basically outlines what their goals are.
I mean, it's called Rebuilding America's Defenses, which is really an amazing, amazing thing. And of course, we pulled down all the important parts in my syllabus. And of course, that's called Iraq: The Untold Story. You can go up on the internet to get it, or certainly we've screened it for you and published it in Iraq, the Untold Story, the story of the neoconservatives. And anything else you want to ask, Mike?
Well, it just seems to me, the more I look at them, they're not conservatives at all.
No, you're absolutely right. And how would you respond to that, Steve? Because
I agree. If they were conservatives, we probably wouldn't have a problem.
Okay, fine. I think your point is well taken, Mike. Anything else?
Okay, good enough for now. Thanks.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Vernon, who's calling from Salinas. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Verena, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do, Dr. Stan. I'd like to say God bless you, and God bless your guest for having the courage to write this book and come out.
Well, I'll tell you what, since he knows what happened to Michael Rupert, who had written a book called Crossing the Rubicon, and Michael came under tremendous personal attack. They had infiltrated his office, and he was poisoned somehow, and he was really very ill, last thing we'd heard. I'm glad to hear. Is he doing fairly well, Steve?
Mike's doing great.
All right, fine. Well, he deserves a rest. We've talked to him off and on through the years, and he's done a yeoman's job, and certainly sometimes he's just got to get away from this for a while. So if he takes a short retirement, why he's entitled to it. Well, anyway, Vernon, did you have a comment?
Because yes. You know, this is a scary time that we live in. And, you know, it's so true what you say, Dr. Stan. There's individuals out in this world that have a different agenda for America. You know, I try to relay all the information that I receive from books, that I get from your website, from listening to you. And it's just so unbelievable to me how people don't believe what I tell them. I mean, they totally make me feel like I'm the conspiracy theorist. I mean, but it's so easy for them to believe that there's bad guys in the Middle East, but they can't believe that there's bad people right here in Washington, living with us and among us. And are these Americans brainwashed to believe that, you know, our country could not do something like this? Because that's usually the first thing that comes out their mouth. Why would our country do something like this?
All right, Steve, how would you respond to Vernon? Because he's saying something that I think he's expressing what a lot of people feel. And how could these things be happening? How could there really be this little group that controls the government? And why would they want to do these things? I mean, this is not logical.
Well, I agree with Vernon. And you have to realize that all of us love America. We're all patriotic Americans. And we're supposed to be the good guys, you know. We've been the good guys. And then, you know, so it's very hard for people, especially the people who wrap themselves in the flag, to believe that our government would ever do anything dishonest. Because that just doesn't, because we wouldn't do anything like that dishonest. But yet it happens throughout history in all governments, and it's the power play. And as far as your dilemma in trying to convince your friends and family, I would suggest that the shell game would probably be a pretty good tool. And I say that because, you know, if you pick up a book that, you know, is labeled some type of 9/11 truth book, people immediately have a preconceived notion of what it is. And you're either receptive to it or you're not receptive. But if you pick up a novel and you're reading it because it's a thriller, then the message in the thriller can come through in a different way. And by the time you're done, your mind is open to reading the other material.
And I think that's an excellent suggestion, because, Vernon, the thing is, we have certain beliefs, a certain belief system. They are the very essence of what we are. And what you are doing is challenging everything they believe. And I'll never forget 45 years ago when I got started, I could not believe some of the things I'd been told. And I had to challenge them to prove they were wrong. And of course, that was my first mistake. 45 years later, I realized, of course, that everything I'd learned in college and I'd learned in high school wasn't true, and the history I'd learned and the values that I held were not true, and we had to change them. But it's been a wonderful adventure, a wonderful time, so don't get discouraged.
I
think that sometimes a novel is an excellent way to introduce ideas.
You know, I'm an African-American, and regardless of our country's past history, I love this country.
Right.
And I love this country with all my heart. I love this country. And I think every time I look around and I hear people say, God bless America, I want to say to them, look around. He has blessed America. He has blessed America fully. I mean, but we have turned our backs on America. We've turned our backs on God. And the only thing that I can keep my mind going is to realize that, you know, you just cannot put your trust in men.
Amen to that. Well, you just keep listening and trying to get the information out, Vernon. If you get them to listen to me, let me try to convince them. They may think we're crazy to begin with, but after a while they'll be afraid we're not. God bless, and thanks so much.
Thank you, Dr. Chan.
Bye-bye. And we got a lot of people like Vernon out there who love the country and don't understand that, you know, that we can love the country, but there are some evil people in it, and these people got to be neutralized. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment for our guest, is Steve Alton. Now, Steve, would you like to put in a plug for your book one more time? The book is called The Shell Game, just released today. And, of course, where can people get copies of your book, and how can they get it?
Well, The Shell Game is a fictional thriller. It deals with the end of oil and the next 9/11 event, which will propel us into a war in Iran. It's a real page-turner, but it brings forth the truth about what really happened in 9/11, and it's available in all bookstores. especially the big chains, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Books A Million. You can also get it at Amazon.com.
All right, fine. I think it's important. I think that a novel really can sometimes touch people and convince people far better than an effort to lecture them. And, of course, what we're doing is doing what the other side does, and that is they play games with our minds, and the things that we read become our reality. And but we need to be able to begin to neutralize that and give them the truth. And it sounds like there's an awful lot of truth in this book. And, of course, the idea that there is a plan to take us into a war with Iran is truly prophetic, because I have no question in my mind that it's not a matter of if, but when we are going to get into the war with Iran. So anyway, of course, when you write a book like this, you do become terribly emotionally involved, don't you, Steve?
It's hard not to, and I found that since the book has been written, and as those 2 weeks ago, I started getting attacked by 9/11 truthers, who actually people posing as 9/11 truthers, but who were in reality just fronts for the neoconservative movement. And this is something that people have to be aware of, because it's given the 9/11 truth movement a bad name. And this, I only recently found this out. And that is, they use disinformation to distract and discredit the movement. What they do is they take 90% of what the 9/11 truth investigations have found, and then they add their own 10%, which is just crazy, wacko stuff designed to give the movement a bad name. Everything from there were no planes to it's the Jews' fault, Israel is responsible, space weapons. The more audacious the accusation, the more it taints the 9/11 truth movement, who I believe, and I've said this many times and I'll continue to say it, are the true patriots of the 21st century. The fact that they question the government against the biggest odds and have been able to take the harassment that the Bush administration has dished out, all to get the truth out to the masses, and they deserve amazing applause.
And I think your point is well made. Certainly I've seen this through the years, that the conservative and the anti-communist movement is infiltrated. Certainly, according to Michael Rupert, his very office, the people he was working with, his friends, they were FBI informants. They were there to disrupt his office and destroy his effort to reach the American people with the truth. And if you've read the material that actually Michael did post, there's no question about it. I saw this with Media Bypass magazine. I saw this with my friend Pat Matriciana, where they'd infiltrated his organization, and of course they were there simply to be disruptive. This is the techniques that are used. And whether it would be the Aryan Brotherhood, certainly some of the Ku Klux Klan, certainly the militia movement a few years ago, all funded by our government, so they would have a foil to attack and vilify because they were people who were anti-government. And yet the founding fathers of America feared the power of government, and that's why they put chains on government. And as Thomas Jefferson said so well, "In matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution." And people have forgotten that, if men, were angels, we wouldn't need any government. If men are not angels and are evil, why would you want to give government power over our lives? And these are the basic principles that our founding fathers understood, and a generation ago, two generations ago, were understood in America. The whole idea was to limit the power of government and certainly stay out of foreign wars. And now it seems it's just a question of who are we going to attack next, and where is the outcry from the Christians, and the conservatives, Jewish people in this country? This is a tragedy. I mean, we got some Jewish people are out there right along with the rest of us saying this is all wrong, but we got so many people who are just going along with the agenda. We got to be patriotic.
Yeah, you have to step out of your comfort zone and get involved, because if you don't, when you wake up one day, you're not going to have any rights. It's going to be martial law, and that sounds overdramatic, but it could happen.
Amen.
Our government at this point is pushing us toward that.
Amen to that. And people only need, of course, to get some of the information available from Radio Liberty on the Military Commission Act and the other things. We have four tape sets going into some of the background of the things that have happened in the legislation, which is really very, very frightening. But, of course, it will not be invoked until there's a major incident. And, of course, the story, Steve Alton's story, suggests that there is going to be a major incident. Now, from your book, of course, describes a nuclear attack. Was this using some sort of a suitcase bomb or what?
Yeah, it's using enriched uranium, which is used to, as the heart of a suitcase bomb. There are, I don't want to give away too much of the plot, but we follow the logical procession of things and the parallels to 9/11 and that the two Muslim agents are actually dupes for, the federal government to allow them to have this happen. Of course, they believe it's their idea, and they're just puppets on strings.
And, of course, I really believe that this is probably what happened on 9/11. I believe that these Muslims really, really thought that they were going to be doing something, for Allah, without ever understanding, of course, that this was all pre-designed. We needed an incident to get us into a war. And, of course, what better incident than September 11th? And I think we could really verify that very, very clearly by noticing that the plan for the attack on Afghanistan was completed, according to Donald Rumsfeld in the 9/11 Commission report, I believe on page 160, where he said that the plan was completed on the day before the 9/11 attack. Wasn't that a coincidence? And there are so many coincidences that occurred at that time. Well, our guest has been Steve Alton, and we've been talking about his new book, The Shell Game. And I'm really looking forward to getting a copy. It sounds like a real thriller. But, of course, the frightening thing is the implications of what would happen if the United States were to launch a massive airstrike on and perhaps even a nuclear or chemical attack, as Steve describes, a chemical attack on Iran and kill millions of Muslims. What do you think that would do to the Muslim world? Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. Steve, what is the final message you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I think the final message is, people ask, what can we do to stop this from happening? And as in all great cons, the best thing you can do is expose it. By spreading the word about the book, The Shell Game, by getting it to as many people as you can, you create a mass acknowledgement that these things could happen, and you expose the con before it happens so that they either have to change the plan or God help us, if it does happen, we're that much wiser about it.
Well, of course, I'm glad that you're bringing out the information on the neoconservatives. I'll never forget, maybe about a year and a half ago when I had one of the leading Christian conservatives as a guest on my program. And when I talked about the neoconservatives, she said there couldn't be such a movement because if there were, I would know about it. And I tried to refer her to their website, and there was just nothing I could say that would convince her that what I was saying was true. And of course, I antagonized a lot of my listeners by trying to be very forceful with her, which perhaps wasn't the smart thing to do in talk radio. But, I mean, when you see somebody who has a tremendous influence, and she had her own radio programs, and she gets up and certainly was able to, pontificate based upon absolutely no knowledge or understanding of what's going on. And you realize that so many of the people would listen to her and accept what she said as the gospel truth. I mean, it's so frustrating, and of course, sometimes you let your emotions get the best of you, and you can't in this business. You've got to be just straightforward, and I'm sure you find this as well. When you're writing your book, you can't let your emotions get too far out of line, or you can't be productive. And I can't, if I let my emotions get the best of me, I can't convince people that what I'm saying is true.
Well, there's two ways to approach people. It's sort of like boiling your hand in water. If you have a pot of boiling water and you go to touch it, you'll pull your hand away. But if you put your hand in a cold pan of water and slowly turn the heat up to simmer, you will burn the flesh away from your hand and not even realize it. And that's how a fictional thriller gets the message across to people who would normally pull their hand away.
Well, I'm really pleased. I'm looking forward to getting a copy myself, Steve. And God bless you. Thanks very much. And maybe we'll give you a call and get you onto some of our other programs to the other audiences we have. But thank you so very much for having the courage to write the book. And don't worry, if you come under attack, if you're not attacked, you're really not being effective at this point.
Sounds cold. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Steve Alton. I hope you enjoyed our program with him. I think his message is important. And we'll be right back here to wrap up the program. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Steve Alton. And his basic premise is that the neoconservatives, who are a very real force in our country, they're one of the most powerful forces. Of course, they tie into the Council on Foreign Relations, and most of the neoconservatives are members of the Council on Foreign Relations, but they certainly have been directing American foreign policy, and of course, they are intent upon taking us into a war with Iran. And of course, I think that Steve's premise is important because he talks about some sort of a false flag operation here in the United States. We need an incident if we're going to get the American people to go along with a war with Iran, just as we needed an incident to get us into the war in Afghanistan. But we went there, of course, to fight Osama bin Laden. He's not there, so why are we still fighting there? Why? We're fighting the wicked Taliban, but people have forgotten we financed the Taliban. They are still being financed by the Pakistanis or being financed with your tax money. So, you know, understand that nothing is as it appears to be. And, of course, then why are we in Iraq? Well, they had to have an incident. That was the threat of the weapons of mass destruction that we knew were there. They were going to be turned loose on New York or given to Osama bin Laden or something. That's why we had to go to war with Iraq. But now we need an excuse to go to war with Iran. It sounds like this book, The Shell Game, which I have not yet read, but which I'm looking forward to getting a copy of and reading, is going to have some very interesting twists and turns. And I do believe that a novel sometimes will reach people who would never listen to a program like ours. Well, let me suggest, ladies and gentlemen, that you need to get my material, my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, or the book, my talk on the forbidden secret, and the secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years through the secret societies, because there really are secret societies out there. There have always been, and they, of course, tie into the message of the ancient mystery religions, which are manifest today in modern-day Masonry. And modern-day Masonry has actually degrees that deal with the Rosicrucians and the Knights Templar. So it all fits together. If you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, we simply quote from what they say, and they explain to you that this is all a modern-day manifestation of the ancient mysteries, the ancient secret. Then, of course, we hope you'll want to get our 4 tapes out on the secret, behind the secret. It's available in tape or CD. You want to get our 4 tapes out on the satanic crimes, and there's a book that goes with that. You want to get our 4 tapes out on the supernatural, and the book that goes with that is the beautiful side of evil. You want to get our 4 tapes out on the wisdom of Malachi Martin, and the book that goes with that, Hostage to the Devil. Understand, of course, it's the story of an exorcism, of 5 exorcisms. One of the first books I ever read that began to make me realize that there was another dimension. And, of course, this is what the battle is really all about. Certainly, you need to read my newsletters. If you have not read our 3 pamphlet set on the occult hierarchy, that's the occult hierarchy, a compilation of my letters and some of the letters written by Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Why, you'll need to get the occult hierarchy. And then, of course, you'll want to get some of the other material that we have readily available through Radio Liberty of my interviews with Constance Cumby. I have a 4-tape, a 4-CD set. And then her talk on the emergence. What's the emergence? Well, that's the new world leader that it's all about. And who is this new world leader? Well, we don't know. And I wouldn't even dare to hazard a guess. And lots of people have their ideas on who it is. But the important thing is we are moving towards a world government and a world religion, the destruction of Christianity as we know it, the persecution of Christians, and, of course, this coming world leader. And that's what The Emergence is all about. And then Chris Pinto's wonderful DVD that he did for us, The Atlantis Connection. Why is that important? Because the belief has always been that America would become the new Atlantis and would lead the world into the new world order and the new world religion. And that's why we're fighting over in Iraq. We're fighting for world government. And that's why we're going to war with Iran and the Muslim world. So pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
On the Information Radio Network. I'm Greg Moore. President Bush is huddling with congressional leaders today, hoping for a quick turnaround on a stimulus package. Correspondent Mark Smith.
It's the president's first chance to meet with top lawmakers since they got back from their holiday break, and there's a real sense of urgency. Aides say Bush wants a stimulus plan passed within weeks so Americans can quickly see tax rebate checks. But he's said to be open-minded on the specifics. Democrats also want the package to help the working poor with added jobless and food stamp benefits. And then there's the size. Bush has suggested a $150 billion price tag, but Press Secretary Dana Perino says he's not closing the door to something even bigger.
Convicted terrorism conspirator Jose Padilla has been sentenced to 17 years and 4 months in prison. Padilla was once accused of plotting with Al-Qaeda to blow up a radioactive dirty bomb in a major city. This is IRN.
Sometimes you feel like you're just a number. To the banks, the credit card companies, the lenders and financial institutions, you are just a number, your credit score. And unless that number is above their standards, you get stuck paying more for everything. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. If you don't have perfect credit, banks will either take advantage of you or slam the door in your face. But I want to send you a free tape that shows you how my proven system will wipe the slate clean once and for all. My system doesn't just raise your credit score, it will permanently insulate your credit status so it can never come back to haunt you again. It works no matter how bad your credit is or how much debt you have. Call today and I'll send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system. You can hit the reset button on your credit score and wipe the slate clean. Let me show you how. Call right now to get my free tape. 1-800-900-1672. That's 1-800-900-1672. 1-800-900-1672.
Israel is easing its blockade on Gaza. We have more from correspondent Mark Levie.
International pressure on Israel, especially from Egypt, did the job. Israel is partially lifting its blockade on the Gaza Strip, allowing a week's worth of fuel in. Israel slammed the borders shut last week after a spike in daily rocket attacks from Gaza. Human rights groups predicted a quick humanitarian crisis. Then Gaza's Islamic Hamas leaders shut down the only electric power plant. Israel said it's all for show. There's no crisis. But as of this morning, fuel, food, and medicine are getting back into Gaza. Mark Levie, Tel Aviv.
The State Department's counterterrorism chief says the U.S. isn't satisfied with the intelligence it's getting about extremist groups in Pakistan. Still, Dale Daley says the U.S. won't conduct military strikes inside Pakistan without President Pervez Musharraf's okay. For the latest news and analysis, log on to irnnews.com.
Is life moving too fast? If you're self-employed or a small business owner, you have no choice but to move as fast as you can. Sometimes you move so fast you don't take a close look at life's details. When was the last time you looked at your health insurance? If you don't have health insurance or if you have the wrong coverage, serious medical bills could mount up. That's where the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company comes in.
Call 877-735-6968. That's 877-735-6968.
It's a dirty little little secret of food poisoning, E. coli, and certain other foodborne illnesses can sometimes trigger serious health problems months or years after patients survive the initial bout. Scientists have described high blood pressure, kidney damage, even full kidney failure, striking 10 to 20 years later in people who survived severe E. coli infection as children. They've also found a mysterious paralysis that can attack people who just had mild symptoms. While these conditions strike a small fraction of the millions of people who get food poisoning each year, experts say no one knows just how many people are at risk. A consumer group called STOP, which stands for Safe Tables, Our Priority, is beginning the first national registry of food poisoning survivors with long-term health problems. It's seeking people willing to share their medical histories with scientists in hopes of boosting research. For one Canadian paramedic, survival mode entails eating dirt, warming himself with dead beavers, and fending off coyotes with a whistle, all this while pinned under an ATV for 4 days and three nights in frigid temperatures. Ken Hildebrand was riding in Alberta bush country collecting animal traps when his ATV hit a rock and rolled on his leg. A hiker and his dog found Hildebrand in his fourth day. He was taken to a hospital. One hospital official says the only thing on Hildebrand's mind after the ordeal was that he'd miss his next paramedic shift. I'm Greg Moore, and that's news from the Information Radio Network.
This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
A stock crisis is encircling the globe, and is the United States next? That's the headline from Wire reports around the world. Investors worldwide grew fearful that problems from massive losses on loans made to the United States home buyers will cascade through the world financial system. The Bank of China is forecast to record a multi-billion dollar loss on U.S. mortgage investments. Investors also took cues from the negative reaction on Wall Street last Friday to President Bush's economic rescue plan. The Dow Jones Industrial Average slid 0.5%, bringing its so far to nearly 9%, and that was as of yesterday. Ambivalence over Bush's rescue plan for the U.S. economy was the trigger of this rout, said the head of the derivatives at GFT Global Markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average futures contract was off 520 points, and by comparison, the Dow Industrials fell 382 points on September 20th, 2001, just days after the terrorist attack at the Twin Towers. Around the globe, stocks lost value in 42 of 43 nations. Stocks in Europe trading at more than 20% below 2007 highs. For them, this is a Black Monday, said George Ugex yesterday, chairman of Galileo Global Advisors, who was visiting the Indian Stock Exchange, which itself fell 7.4%, the second biggest percentage drop ever in its history. That was the equivalent of a 900-point drop in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. There is tremendous uncertainty in our world, particularly in the economic world. The volatility on Wall Street is a continuation of concern about whether the U.S. is heading toward a recession or worse. Market sentiment is really sour, said Gerhard Schwartz, a strategist at the UniCredit Markets. Hong Kong's blue chip index plummeted 5.5%, its big percentage drop since the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks, and that was as of yesterday. Japan's benchmark slid almost 4%, its lowest close in more than 2 years. We're in a global economy, said Randy Bateman, chief investment officer of Huntington Asset Advisors. This is just the result of a perfect storm of problems that have surfaced, that have manifested in the stock markets around the world, all of them. Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. I ask you a question. What circumstances, what perfect storm will be necessary to drive the world into the hands of an autocratic savior who will cause, as the scripture says, all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the number, the name of the beast or the number of his name. What do you think? What kind of circumstances would be required to initiate, to inaugurate, to cause the peoples of this planet, including you, to be sorely tempted to receive such a mark? When the world is in conflagration, when there's economic chaos everywhere, when the stock markets around the world are echoing back and forth like a great tectonic wave back and forth and around the world, how far will it have to go before Israel and the Jewish people become once again the scapegoats of the world, bringing incredible persecution? By any standard, the Jewish people have suffered more abuse and mistreatment than any group of people in human history. They have always been the world's scapegoat. What kind of perfect storm will be necessary for the final Holocaust? Today on Viewpoint, you must stay tuned, my friends, because we are going to weave together a picture that is so dramatic, you have not heard all of this picture on your regular news media. I can almost guarantee it. What we are about to unfold before you here today is so dramatic that it is nothing short of breathtaking. Please stay tuned. If you're not able to listen to the whole of today's program, I want to urge you to go to our website, saveus.org, and make sure that you pick up the whole of the program right there. Saveus.org. There are some stations that, because of their AM status and in areas where the dusk falls earlier, particularly in the north of the country and in other countries, it may be that you're not able to pick up the signal when they power down after dusk. Make sure you go to the website, saveus.org. Make sure you tell your friends, you email your acquaintances around the world concerning today's program. This is Viewpoint, and Viewpoint does determine destiny. Global stock markets extended their shakeout into a second day today, plunging amid fears that a possible U.S. recession would cause a worldwide economic slowdown. This is coming from the Jerusalem Post now. Global markets plunge amid worries of U.S. recession. The dramatic declines in Asia and Europe were expected to spread to Wall Street. Friends, we're not going to just talk about money here today. This is the kickoff. This is the framework in which the mark of the beast will be installed in our world. But it's also going to be in the context of geopolitical developments. We're going to talk about many of those here today on Viewpoint. That's why there's so much to talk about. You are not going to believe what is happening. You're just not going to believe it. But it's true. You're not going to believe it, but it's true. You're going to shake yourself, and you're going to say, could this really be happening? It is. And I'm not talking about a recession here. That's only one aspect of this. This is couched in a much bigger picture, as you will soon see. Japan's investment index nosedived 5.7% yesterday, its biggest percentage drop in nearly 10 years. A day after falling 3.9%. So that's a total of nearly 10%. In 2 days, Australia's benchmark sank 7.1%, its steepest slide in 20 years. Hong Kong's index slumped 5.5% Monday, finished down 8.7% today. In China, the investment index lost 7.2% to close at its lowest level since August. Investors dump shares in frenetic trading on worries that the U.S. economy, battered by a credit crisis and housing slump, would shrink in coming months, weakening demand for Asian exports. Markets have been plunging amid pessimism about the ability of American authorities to prevent a recession. The Federal Reserve today, even before the market opened, lowered interest rates further, Bush had proposed an economic stimulus package, hasn't been voted in yet, but investors around the world are doubtful that the measures will lift the economy quickly enough to make the kind of difference that needs to happen. The Fed today dropped the short-term interest rates 0.75%. It's huge. Almost unprecedented. What's going on? Where does it fit in the global picture as we await the second coming of Jesus Christ? We'll be right back.
Did you hear about the latest study from a Duke University sociologist? It's called Social Isolation in America, and it's been the talk of columnists and news articles everywhere. As one columnist wrote, the story could just as well have been called Friendless in America. One-fourth of all Americans admit they have no one to talk with about important matters. Another quarter say they have only one friend. What's missing? What's missing is good old-fashioned hospitality. Our hyper-individualism is actually killing us. That's why Chuck and Kathy Grismire's recent book, The Power of Hospitality, is so important for you and all of us, even our churches. When 70% of pastors admit they have no friends, we're in trouble. So get your copy of The Power of Hospitality today for your gift of $16 to Save America Ministries. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. The Power of Hospitality will change your life. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-584-1095.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security check. Over the past decade, the tax team at J.K. Harris has successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-584-1095. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-584-1095. That's 800-584-1095.
When all hell breaks loose in the economic markets around the world because of globalism, when a scapegoat is sought for some blame, somewhere to put the blame for the collapse of the global economy, when the Jews become the scapegoat once again for the world, and Christians also are joined with them in the world mentality, alienated, persecuted, you are going to wish that you had listened concerning the power of hospitality. You are going to wish that you had listened when you had an opportunity to prepare your mind and your heart and your home with the power of hospitality, to be able to reach to people who are going to be persecuted beyond measure. When the Jews are having to flee for their lives, when they're having to run back to Israel, when the pressures, when the attitudes of men become so antagonistic, just as in not that long ago Germany, toward the Jews, and then also toward Christians, true Christians, you're going to wish that you had a heart of hospitality, that God somehow could use you to be a safe house, to be a place to fold in those who are being alienated and run like animals out of the society. But if you haven't prepared yourself, you'll operate only by fear, and you'll not be able to live by faith. And that's one of the reasons, my friends, why we presented to you the power of hospitality for such a time as this. Just recently, I was talking with a leader among the Jewish people in America, strongly urging this person to seriously consider embracing the power of hospitality. It's going to be necessary. Pastors, it's going to be necessary. We can't pretend anymore. Things are going to be very quickly like they were in the early church, where it was said, behold, how they love one another, and they met, not in mega churches, but from house to house, because it wasn't popular or even politically available to meet publicly. Your home, my friend, may very soon become a place of warmth and protection for others if you have the heart of Christ and have prepared yourself to know how to do this. I want to urge you, really. Obviously, you can hear the urgency in my voice. This is not a game. The Apostle Peter said, the end of all things is at hand, therefore use hospitality without grudging. That's right. The Apostle Peter said that. He must have known something. Get your copy of The Power of Hospitality today. Your gift of $16 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hand. Just call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. If you're writing a check, add $4 for postage and handling. You're not going to be sorry. It'll radically change your life. It will. You'll wonder where you have been all of your Christian life. Because without the power of hospitality being operational and active in your life, sir, you cannot be walking in the fullness of the life of Christ in our time. You just can't do it. It's impossible. That's why the great Apostle Paul said that anyone who aspires to any level of leadership in the body of Christ, any level of leadership must first be given to hospitality and be a lover of hospitality. And then he said in Romans 12, describing all of the practical virtues and applications of the Christian life, he said, every one of us must be given to hospitality. Not gifted in, given to hospitality. This is a quintessential essential, so to speak. That's redundancy, but a quintessential essential for every professing Christian, particularly for such a time as this. Now, I want to get on with, by the way, you can obtain the book on our website as well, saveus.org. Global markets plunging amid worries of U.S. recession. We get some positive shock effects, drastic measures from the U.S. government. There is almost no hope for a recovery in stocks, said the senior economist at the Mizuho Research Institute in Tokyo. And as we know, today, before the stock market opened, the Federal Reserve in America lowered its target rate for federal funds by 75 basis points. That's 0.75%. And because of the tremendous fears of recession, to try to prevent a global sell-off and meltdown spreading back to the United States. Now, in the midst of this kind of economic chaos, yeah, that's really all you can call it, whether it will be staved off at this point temporarily, I cannot say. But what I'm trying to show you, what you need to understand is that this is the kind of attitudinal dimension globally that will lay the foundation, most likely, for the fulfillment of Revelation chapter 13 and 14 and the issuance of the mark of the beast. There's going to be a global meltdown. There's going to be something that will cause every man, woman, and child to want to give up his freedom, to want to be identified, stamped, marked, identified in whatever way, so he can receive whatever promises of prosperity that the counterfeit Christ, a counterfeit Prince of Peace, will be promising in such a chaotic world. Will you be one of them? According to my reading of the Scripture, the majority of mankind will indeed yield to that massive temptation to trust the global, international system of Babylon. The majority, including professing Christians. Because we are not at a place where we have learned how to trust God. Trusting God is just rhetorical these days in the church, particularly in the West. In China, they understand it. In India, many of them understand it. In America, we don't get it. Trusting God? What does that mean? Oh, yes, we trust God. We think we do. But not really. We trust the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the president, the pope, the potentates of our time. But we don't trust God. We trust Mr. Bernanke heading up the Fed to reduce the interest rates so we can all get along, so we can survive. But there's coming a point, there's coming an ultimate test, friends, where those things aren't going to work. And the whole global economic system is going to be remade so that you will demonstrate your trust in it by receiving this mark that the Bible talks about. This is the time to rebuild end-time trust for end-time trials. That's why I wrote the book, Out of Egypt. An end-time message to the end-time church to prepare the way of the Lord in your heart, building end-time trust for end-time trials. Your gift of $17 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. It's going to rebuild your faith in ways you never dreamed possible. Tying the Bible together in a holistic way. You're going to be excited about it. Your gift of $17 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. 1-800-SAVE-USA. You can get it on our website, saveus.org. That's Out of Egypt. You got the power of hospitality. You got Out of Egypt. Between those, you've got $33. Special offer today. Your gift of $30 or more to Save America Ministries. We'll put both of the books in your hands. There'll only be one $4 postage and handling if you get the two books. So in essence, you're going to save $7 by getting the two books today. Out of Egypt and the Power of Hospitality. Life-changing books. Never read anything like these books, I can virtually guarantee you. Now, let's move on. There's too much to cover. Tony Blair kicked off his campaign to become the EU president. He launched his campaign to become the first fully-fledged president of the European Union. With France preparing to oversee the appointment process, Blair set out his vision of modern European democracy at a meeting of the French governing Conservative Party last week, claiming that EU countries could achieve far more by working together than acting in isolation. Europe, he said, is not a question of left or right, but a question of the future or the past, of strength or weakness, said the British Prime Minister, speaking in French. Blair said, listen, globalization was eradicating traditional party lines and class distinctions and rendering old political remedies obsolete. Now, when you see where that's going and how it's going to be applied, when we open this up in the next half of this program, right at the beginning, you better have your seatbelt on. You better put a shoulder harness on. You might even want a head strap to keep your neck from breaking. When you hear what is about to happen, already in the works, it has not been disclosed in the news. Your president that you trusted has not told you this. I dare say your pastor hasn't told you this. Fox News hasn't told you this. CNN hasn't told you this, but you're going to hear it right after this upcoming break. But until then, Tony Blair has said globalization was eradicating all of these other lines and distinctions and rendering old political remedies obsolete. He's a close ally of Sarkozy, who advised the French politician during his rise to power. strongly backed by the French president, become president of the EU Council of Ministers in January next year, a position he previously, that is Blair previously, said he was not interested in. Sarkozy offered unequivocal backing to Tony Blair, describing him as an ideal candidate to run Europe. Now wait till you hear what is going to happen between the U.S. and Europe. You're not going to believe it. You are absolutely not going to believe it, my friend. But it's true. And it's already in the works. I cannot think of a single item that more directly reveals the impending, immediate, imminent fulfillment of biblical prophecy than what we are going to reveal to you after this upcoming break. Now, I want to urge you to seriously consider becoming a partner with us. Friends, as things are tightening up, if you value this message, if you think that we're bringing you information for transformation that will strengthen you and equip you for the most difficult times that lie ahead, I really want to urge you not to lay back anymore, but to take it seriously and send your gifts to Save America Ministries. We'll be right back.
With news on the Information Radio Network, I'm Greg Moore. President Bush is huddling with congressional leaders today, hoping for a quick turnaround on a stimulus package. Correspondent Mark Smith.
It's the president's first chance to meet with top lawmakers since they got back from their holiday break, and there's a real sense of urgency. Aides say Bush wants a stimulus plan passed within weeks so Americans can quickly see tax rebate checks. But he's said to be open-minded on the specifics. Democrats also want the package to help the working poor with added jobless and food stamp benefits. And then there's the size. Bush has suggested a $150 billion price tag, but Press Secretary Dana Perino says he's not closing the door to something even bigger.
Convicted terrorism conspirator Jose Padilla has been sentenced to 17 years and 4 months in prison. Padilla was once accused of plotting with Al-Qaeda to blow up a radioactive dirty bomb in a major city. This is IRN.
Have you ever thought about how to avoid becoming poor?
Good question. From a man who has many of the answers. Your Money, Your Future, a powerful DVD program from Dr. Larry Bates, economist, former banker, best-selling author, world-renowned financial and political expert. He tells it like it will be in terms we can all understand. The power behind the power is wielding its power to make us all equal. Equally poor. You need to know how to keep them from it. And Dr. Bates gives us a heads up on the lowdown.
The private bankers have more power than the President of the United States.
Dr. Bates explains how the monopoly men run the Fed, Social Security, even what assets to hold in the perilous times ahead. Now's the time to order your copy of Your Money, Your Future, Dr. Bates' powerful, revealing DVD that could be your most important investment in your future. It's only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, so call now, 1-800-336-7000, and order yours. That's 800-336-7000, 800-336-7000. It's Your Money. Learn how to handle it.
With an IRN Business News update, I'm Dick Shannon. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, confronted with global market turmoil, says that Congress and the administration need to agree quickly on a package of tax cuts and other measures to boost the economy. Both the White House and leading lawmakers already have displayed flexibility in battles over spending, taxes, and children's health insurance. The administration focusing on rebates of $800 to $1,600 for individuals and couples, and bonus depreciation to allow companies to deduct half of business investments. He also suggests help for small businesses with more generous write-offs on business purchases. Democrats want the rebates to help lower-income families who only pay Social Security and Medicare taxes or who may not file income tax returns. The Federal Reserve cut a key interest rate by 0.75 percentage point today, the biggest one-day move by the central bank in recent memory, cutting the federal funds rate to 3.5%, down by 0.75 percentage point from 4.25%. With an IRN Business News update, I'm Dick Shannon.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, And we're presenting present issues with eternal perspective here on Viewpoint. Here it is, the Transatlantic Policy Network. Let me repeat that. The Transatlantic Policy Network. It's a seven-year plan, I repeat, a seven-year plan to align the United States with Europe's economy. Do I have your attention yet? Do you remember the European Union? Actually, it was the European Common Market that began maybe 50, 60 years ago. It was all about uniting the various nation states of Europe to have a better economy and work together more effectively. Oh, there were concerns. People said, well, we don't want to get rid of our cultures. We don't want to have a common currency. We don't want to be unified into some sort of a political entity. We certainly don't want a unified military. And they were given assurances by the leaders, oh no, that's not what it's about. No, this is just so that we can have more success, so we can have greater prosperity and security. Now, you might remember those words when last year it became known that President George W. Bush and henchmen were putting together behind the scenes a North American Union to unite Canada and America and Mexico together in one common geopolitical entity for security and prosperity. You see, it was called the Security and Prosperity Partnership. And, of course, people said, oh, no, that's just a bunch of conspiracy talk. Oh, that couldn't possibly be. But it was. And is. And the president is moving forward with it, despite resistance from Congress. Says, we don't even need the approval of Congress for this. We're going to do it. Now, why would he insist on doing that? Why would he insist on giving up increasing measures of American sovereignty for these globalized purposes? Precisely because he's a globalist. That's why. It was his great, his father, George H.W. Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, who during the first Gulf War said over 200 times that he was declaring the New World Order. Friends, our current president, his son, is fulfilling the father's will. Six U.S. senators and 49 House members are advisors for a group working toward a transatlantic common market between the U.S. and the European Union to be completed by 2015. It's called the Transatlantic Policy Network, a non-governmental organization headquartered in Washington and Brussels, advised by the bipartisan congressional TPN Policy Group. Now, I have in front of me all the information concerning the TPN Transatlantic Policy Network Group. They have a website. I have it, the information here. Bigwigs, leaders around the world, Republicans, Democrats here in this country, congressmen supporting this. It matters not whether you're Democrat or Republican. Some of the most prominent Republicans in the country are on this support list. Friends, they're globalists. Some of the most prominent businesses in America are on this list. It's all about security and prosperity. The plan, currently being implemented by the Bush administration with the formation of the Transatlantic Economic Council in April of 2007, appears to be following a plan written in 1939 by a world government advocate who sought to create a transatlantic union as an international governing body. An economist from the World Bank has argued in print that the formation of the transatlantic common market is designed to follow the blueprint of Jean Monnet, a key intellectual architect of the European Union. In fact, Jean Monnet knew very well that the intention of the European common market was not just to be a common market, but was to become the foundation for a global government. It was to become a government with a military. But they had to hide that from the people. Intentionally hid it from the people. Because they knew if they disclosed the true intentions, they'd never go for it. So they did it gradually. But now the world is looking at what happened with the European Union and seeing the euro advance against the U.S. dollar and seeing how these nations, 27 nations or however many there are now in the European Union, nations that were often at war with each other, seem to be living in this incredible peace and security unprecedented, and they're saying, hey, look, this globalization idea is working. Let's all jump on the bandwagon. So President Bush is jumping on the bandwagon with the American North American Union. And now comes the Asian Union, the South American Union, and so on. The whole world is going into this global idea. But now, this is what really got my attention. A 7-year plan to align the U.S., the greatest superpower on the planet, with Europe's economy? Think about it. It's designed to follow the blueprint of Jean Monnet, a key intellectual architect of the European Union, recognizing the economic integration must inevitably lead to political integration. Are you getting the point? It's not just about uniting the U.S. and the EU economically, but politically and militarily. A key step in advancing this goal was the creation of the Transatlantic Economic Council by the U.S. and the EU through an agreement signed by President Bush, German Chancellor Angela Merkel, the current President of the European Council, and European Commission President José Manuel Barroso at a White House summit meeting last April. Writing in the fall 2007 issue of the Straight Council Journal, an article called Freedom and Union, Representative Jim Costa, Democrat from California, a member of the TPN Advisory Group, affirmed the target date of 2015 for the creation of a transatlantic common market. Are you seeing how fast things are moving, friends? Who would have ever believed it? Costa said the Transatlantic Economic Council is tasked with creating the transatlantic common market regulatory infrastructure. The infrastructure would not require congressional approval like a new free trade agreement would. Robert Bennett, Senator Robert Bennett, Republican from Utah, who's chairing this committee, Congressional TPN Policy Group, bipartisan,